Hey, TMC followers. This week on the Monday Christian Podcast is a little bit different than you're usually used to. David is away in Jacksonville, and so my wife and I sit down for a chat about our newest podcast, Story of God. I hope you enjoy it.
You're listening to the Monday Christian Podcast, the program dedicated to helping you put into action the truth of God's Word that you hear on Sunday to your everyday life on Monday. And now, here are your hosts, Ezra Beyer and David Hartkopf.
Well, hey there, welcome to the Monday Christian Podcast. And for those of you that are watching this, you can see that it's a little bit different than we usually have it. Me and David are usually set up in different locations, but today I'm hosted by someone who's a little bit more attractive and better looking than David.
Thank you.
My wife, Janann.
Hello. So,
Janann, welcome to the Monday Christian Podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, it feels like what you're always supposed to say to people. So, old habits die hard. Well, you're kind of becoming, for those in our audience that don't know, Janann and I just started a new podcast. It's called The Story of God Podcast and available on Apple, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. And so, Janann, you're like, you're becoming an old podcast pro. You're like 2 weeks into this.
Yeah, lots of experience now.
Yep. And you've never done podcasts really before, right?
No, I'm actually not a huge listener to podcasts either. I'm sorry.
I do like
the Monday Christian
program. Of course, how could you not?
Yeah, but I listen kind of sporadically to different ones every once in a while.
What keeps your attention?
Probably the topics the most. Like, I'll actually research a different topic to listen to. So,
Yeah. So it's my irresistible charm and charisma.
Yeah, exactly. You're the topic.
Yeah, I figured. So, let's talk about, now that David's not here, we're free to talk about him and whatever we need to. So we can throw him under the bus. And anyways, he's down in Jacksonville this week working on his doctorate. So in our show list of different upcoming guests that we have and we'll be bringing on, I put a little asterisk next to this one and highlighted his non-commitment. So David, you can go ahead and check that out in the show notes. Non-committed, right? Yeah. No, he's working through something that both of us, you know, I'm working through my doctorate, then you've worked through your master's, then eventually probably a doctorate as well. You know, education, that's kind of one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something I love.
Well, for those in our audience that don't know, tell them a little bit about what you do.
Well, I am a mom of three kids, and Zoe, Zeke, and Zelly, which you probably, or maybe no, they're 4, 2, and 0. So they keep me pretty busy. I'm a house cleaner, a chef, but I teach online, and I love it. I get to create my own classes and then teach kids all over the world. So it's outschool.com. And then you get to submit different classes that you've created and researched and all of that. And then I have kids from everywhere that sign up for them. So it's a lot of fun.
This wasn't what we were going to talk about, but if someone is interested in starting, so this is kind of cool, actually, because a lot of people will ask you this, like, how do I get started working from home, right? Mm-hmm. Because for a lot of people, maybe they aren't. So with COVID, a lot of teachers, they weren't able to work in their teaching environment or whatever, and so some of them made switches to online. Was that weird? Because you taught in a classroom for, what was it?
I taught about 7 years in the classroom, middle school. And then during some of that, I overlapped and taught ESL online. And so VIP kid. And then it was in the middle of COVID, I started teaching on outschool.com. And that, I mean, sometimes I'll have ESL students, but it's mostly English speakers, and then just from all over the world. So it was a little bit different because I got to create my own classes. I personally love that. My master's of education is in curriculum instruction and assessment, basically creating material. And so I loved that I got to use that.
Has been really interesting, I think, for our marriage, because we totally approach things from different perspectives. I think it makes it really interesting because you talk about topics, but you bring your educational background And then I bring my practical, see, I'm a writer, but I struggle with things like pronunciation or like, you know,
enunciation.
Exactly. How to articulate things well, and you keep me in check.
Yeah, I help out with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're about 10 years into marriage. I think that's one of the things we've probably thought, well, I know we've talked a lot about as a couple, is that growing together, right? So many couples, I feel like maybe they start off well, but then I hear this over and over again, right? So our marriage, I didn't realize the person that I married, and I'm sure you didn't, right? When you married me, you didn't realize exactly the person you're marrying. But over time, that marriage can tend to grow apart, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like in our marriage, one of the beautiful things has been, even though we approach things from very different perspectives, we've grown together through all of it.
Yeah, and I think we've taken time to like learn what the other one's doing, mm-hmm. and kind of at least a little bit understand it, and occasionally help each other with our different things that we're doing, you know. And I think even raising kids, we've been blessed to find a way that we both can work from home. And so, we can both be home with them quite a bit, and we've spent a lot of time doing things together. And yeah. I think that's helped.
Okay. So going back to that, the working from home thing. By the way, if any of you want to work from home teaching, you need to talk to Janann, because she was actually the one that inspired me to think I could actually work from home, because honestly, I didn't really think I could do it. But then Janann one day, she was like, yeah, you should try it. And we should really go for it. And then now I write full time online for and with people. And all of that probably wouldn't have started without your initiation.
Yeah. And I do love getting people started on things I'm excited about. So if you're interested, I can try to help you out.
The Story of God podcast, that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today and why we're doing that. Right. And to be honest, so if you don't know, go to the Story of God podcast. You can find it on themondaychristian.com or just go to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and just type in the Story of God. When you do that, you can subscribe to it, so it comes basically not in your inbox, but like in your podcast feed every single day. You'll get a notification, and that just shows up and says, hey, the Story of God podcast is here, right? And so we started this, and the thing is, it's Monday through Friday, every single day for about 10, 15 minutes. So on our end, like, that's a lot of commitment time-wise, and a lot of time spent together discussing things, as in our case, we're going through the book of Matthew. And it was funny, when we first started off, it took us kind of a while to get in sync, didn't it? Like,
yeah, well, especially me, because I'm not used to podcasting. So I would mess up a lot.
Well, no, but I feel like from my perspective, it was just hard. See, I don't know. It was hard to like kind of figure out what was the best strategic formula. You know, what was the best pattern and how to make it work? So I don't know. Was there a point for you when you felt like it clicked?
Probably after the first session of us actually sitting down and getting several done, it was like, oh yeah, like I'm getting the hang of it more. And
yeah, for those of you that are interested in starting podcasts, the first couple are where it's all at. Like, you have to get that template in place, and then from there you kind of build from there. But as you know, Janann, I'm curious to get your perspective. Like, what's the value of studying the Bible together as a couple? How do you find that helpful?
I think, as you study the Bible, so much of your theology, and especially when you talk about it out loud, so much of your theology of God comes out. Even the little things that you don't think about, how you think God would think about something, or how you think, or what you think God is saying about something. And so actually discussing it together, I think you get to know better how the other person thinks about God, and that really plays out in how they live. And so I think it's a really, it's been really cool to do that together.
Would you be more, I'm trying to think of this, I feel like you would be more of the applicational approach, where you would tend to do a very good job of applying it to life and things like that. I'm going to be looking at it more from, okay, what are the commentaries saying, and what is the big picture angle? I don't know. That's something I've kind of thought about as we're going through this. What are our strengths and weaknesses, you think?
That's an interesting question. I'd probably agree where I'm more interested in it for, this is what the Bible says, and this is what it means today. Like this is how, like you said, we can apply it, but also how God was speaking to us today, through everything he said then.
Well, because I've thought about this a lot, like communicating, like I'll communicate on stage, whether it's preaching, teaching, that kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes communicating from my perspective, I think one of the helpful things for me in working through this series together is to kind of get inside your mind a little bit more and say, okay, so we did Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, and just hearing your perspective and the ways that you approach that passage. Yeah, it's not like we're coming at this from totally different vantage points, but just your perspective and the way that you looked at it, I thought was very interesting, and then made it interesting in my mind.
Yeah, and I think probably too, I come at things from more of a teacher perspective. So if you can't apply something, it's not useless. Like it's nice to just have information, but I love researching. Like even my personality type on the Enneagram, I'm a researcher.
Yeah.
So I love researching, and I love even knowing the background story of things. But if it can't be applied, then, or if I'm listening to someone and I just have no idea how to apply what they're saying, I can struggle with that because my job is literally taking history and then applying it to my students' lives and math and applying it and everything you're applying it. How do I use it or what's the point of it? And so,
I was just talking with someone about that actually this morning, and they were saying they're working on their doctorate, not David, another person. And they were just saying how kind of frustrating this is because they're in this process of working on their doctorate, and it feels like so much of what they're doing is not applied to everyday life. And they said it's really hard for them to focus because it's like they kind of have to keep having that application constantly, you know, but that they're not getting that need fulfilled, right? Because they're in a classroom setting and they're, you know, it's a lot of philosophizing about, well, so what, you know, and maybe a kind of ambiguous points or like theories, right? About, you know, what does this person say about this? Or what does this person say about that? And I think to a point, again, I'd be curious to get your take. I think to a point that's helpful to think about, but then I think to a point, at least for me, I kind of hit a limit where I say, okay, now I have to apply this or else it's not going to start to stick anymore.
Yeah. And to that, I mean, when my eighth grade students asked me why in the world they were learning algebra, I said,
which is still a good question. One I wonder to this day.
I said, it's good for your brain. It creates pathways of problem solving in your brain. So some philosophizing and just discussing topics, arguing can be good. Not that it's something you want to do all the time, but those things can actually be good for your brain development. So there's a teacher answer.
Well, and I would say from a couple's perspective, right? Because I think it's so easy. And again, when I've talked to like older couples and sometimes work with a few recently where sadly, maybe their marriages have kind of fallen apart later on in life. And so many times, and again, man, I don't want to be judgmental or I don't want to come across that way at all, but so many times the conversation goes something like this. Man, I was in my 40s or 50s, and we just woke up one day and we realized we had two totally different worldviews or ways we thought about life. And so for decades, sometimes, sadly, they had continued to grow apart at a small pace. And I guess for me, the value of studying the Bible, so like, because I could have done this podcast with someone else, or you could have done it with someone else, but I think the value of doing it together is not just hopefully the benefit that it is for the audience, but hopefully I found it's been beneficial for us because then it forces us to go through different things that we wouldn't normally cover. Yeah. Everyday conversation.
And even for raising kids, it's helped us to ask the questions and kind of get on even more of the same page, which I feel like even the last couple of years of marriage has been more of. You know, I like marriage because the further along you go, hopefully, you know, the more you're learning each other and growing together and becoming more mature.
Well, the first couple of years, I mean, think about you going back in time. It was so easy, I would say, from my perspective, to get offended over things, to make bigger deals about things, right? so you said this, and so I'm going to give you the silent treatment, right, for 30 minutes or something like that, and then we'll work through it. But I don't know, to me, the longer you're married, hopefully the shorter time it takes to work through stuff like that.
I think we've gotten a lot better at arguing.
No, we haven't. Not a chance.
And I think arguing is very important, actually, because like you said, sometimes I think you can wait and wait and wait to talk about it. Sometimes you need space, and that can be healthy. But I think sometimes you just need to push through it and get your feelings or your thoughts about something out so that the other person gets communication.
Yeah.
You know, the other person's wondering what in the world is going on in their head. And so I think sometimes, because sometimes you'll share something with me and I'll just be like, oh, I had no idea. I think we had something a couple weeks ago and I had hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. And you said what it was. And I was like, that's not what I meant at all. And it just cleared it up, because what you thought I said wasn't even near what I was saying.
Yeah.
So arguing and just talking about things, talking through them to get to the other side, I think is really something we've grown in.
Gary Thomas's book, so I'm just looking at my bookshelf right now and I don't see it right there. I think it's on my other one, but his book on Cherish, we had him on the podcast last year. And I think that was a really great book for me personally, of just when you cherish someone, then you're really valuing them. You're whether it's like, you know, jewelry or something that's very special to you and you prize that, right? When you're cherishing someone, you place high value on them. Mm-hmm. And I think so often I've just observed this over and over again, where the relationships that are closest to us, we can take for granted.
Yeah.
Right. And so like in a business context, we know, okay, I have to be kind to people, because if I'm not kind to my customers, my employees, they're going to leave and I'm going to lose money. But then I think in a marriage context, sometimes people can just fall into the rut. Well, hey, they're stuck with me. They committed to marrying me. And so for better or for worse, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to act however way I feel comfortable. And there's nothing really they can do about it unless they want to leave, I guess.
Yeah. And this, you know, it's not supposed to be a podcast on marriage, but something I would throw in there too is, you know, yeah, they're stuck with me, but that's how people grow apart too, is when you just blast everything out and to complain. You know, I hear different people, complaining about their spouse and just,
that's a big one we've talked a lot about.
Yeah. If I ever catch myself saying something negative about you or about to say something, I do a fast, reverse pretty quickly, because, that's not, I think that's one of the biggest things too, is what you say to other people about each other. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 'cause I don't want you complaining about me. I want people to think I'm great.
Well, you are great. You are great. I keep reaching for this coffee cup here. Thank you, Troy Keaton, by the way. Troy Keaton, my mentor and friend for many, many years, he got me this cup back years and years ago, and it has all kinds of helpful sayings on it. Like right here for the coffee cup handle, it says thumb. Right?
That was before you drink much coffee.
Yes.
I've helped you in that aspect. So this is
brought
my
to you by Troy Keaton, Meast Lake Community Church.
Caffeinate and educate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This brings our two different philosophies into perspective. I think, so going back to this whole idea of looking at scripture, I think the value of looking at scripture together as a couple, again, it forces you to confront different things. But I would just highlight this again. I think it's not easy to do. Because to me, I was a pastor for 10 years. I've studied the Bible so much. And just kind of in a weird way, it's easier for me to study the Bible with someone else than it is with you. At least it was until we started going through this and doing other things. Because I don't know. I think when you're discussing the Bible specifically with someone who knows you best, there's no room for hiding, right?
Yeah.
You can't kind of, oh, okay, well, this is how I would look at this passage. And there's no, because they know you inside and out.
Right. And when you say something like, you know, you shouldn't complain. You should be kind to people. You should have a good attitude, a cheerful spirit. You should not let the sun go down on your wrath. All of those things. You're like, check, check, check. No, it can be. It can be hard because we see what goes on behind the scenes and whether or not we believe what we say.
Yeah. Yep. We went through, and just one of the things I wanted to get into too, today as well, I thought would be kind of interesting. So for 5 years, we lived in Toronto, Canada, right? Pastoring a church there, working. And, you know, obviously some difficult years that we went through as a couple, just kind of planting in, you know, difficult city. And honestly, just some of the mistakes I made with pastoring and all of that. And so, I don't know, when you look back, and Dave and I have talked on this podcast, so I don't want to rehash all of that. But Janann, when you look back on some of those years that were maybe harder years of our marriage, not really between us, but just hard things of life mm-hmm. that we're going through. I've shared how I went through seasons of depression, that kind of thing. What did those seasons teach you about marriage, life, all of me? No.
I mean, a lot.
End of story.
Yep, there you go. Well, I would say they taught me a lot of things, you know, to hold, in a sense, I think to hold each day a little loosely, if that makes sense, of you have your plans. I mean, the Bible talks about this a lot, but you have your plans, your way that you think things are going to happen.
Yep.
And you have no idea what's going to happen. And I think just holding it truly with an open hand of, even if it's the day by day or the hour by hour, this is what I had planned. This is what I wanted to happen. This is what I wanted for my life. But that's not what I'm getting. And so in the midst of that, I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to choose to hide in God's word. I'm going to choose to trust Jesus. Mm-hmm. I share this actually on our Story of God podcast in one of the episodes. But one of the hard, a Sunday I just remember as being difficult after we had moved on from the church plant, but we're still in Toronto. We were visiting a church and the pastor said one of the highest forms of praise is when you don't feel anything and you don't see God moving and you just don't know what's going on, basically. Mm-hmm. And he said, and you choose to trust God.
Yeah.
You choose to praise God, trust God in the midst of that. And I think that's a big takeaway that I got from Toronto as well, was just in the desert. Streams in the desert was something I actually read a lot that last year and a half to 2 years. It was very helpful. But when you don't see what's going on and you really have no idea, just choosing to trust God and having faith that God is good and he loves me. And I will always have the hope of eternity. I think those are things that I would just remind myself of is, okay, this is maybe not what I wanted or how I saw my life going, but God is good. And maybe it sounds morbid, but I will die someday. I will die and I will go to heaven and it will be perfect.
It's funny how many things of life can just be kind of understood with that, right? One day I'm going to die.
You're living in light of eternity, you know, too. Sometimes I would step back and I would say, okay, this is eternity and this is the situation. And in light of eternity, this isn't a big deal.
Well, and I think working together in saying, okay, we don't want to get bitter or frustrated, that kind of thing. And I think that's a big thing for life. A key takeaway for life is that, you know, there's all kinds of things in life, like you said, mistakes or situations where are not ideal. And I guess the hard thing is that so many people, I think when you hit that, it's easy to become bitter. Like when you went through some of the harder days, maybe I went through, but you also went through hard days. Was there a point where you were bitter and angry towards God? Like how did you work through that?
I don't remember being bitter. I think there were moments of anger. Sometimes I'd call a friend. Well, I have one friend I would call.
Yeah.
And my dad. Sometimes those were the two. Maybe one other family member. I had a very small group of people that I would talk to. And sometimes I would just tell them exactly what I was thinking. And because I knew they could handle it. And
that's kind of a healthy thing for marriage, right? Like, I think that helped us. You having people to talk to, me having people to talk to, so we don't mm-hmm. always throw it on each other.
Yeah. Because sometimes we would, and it wasn't always bad that we did that. You know, we would, because we needed to know where the other person was sometimes too. But talking to someone outside of the situation, yeah, that's, can just listen to you.
Well, I realized how many times I would do this. You know, you walk in the door, right? And even to this day, it's easy for me to do this if I'm not careful, right? Walk in the door and, oh man, I'm so frustrated with this client or this work. And you just kind of like, it's like this verbal vomit, you know, sorry for the bad illustration there, but it just comes out and it's kind of like, ugh, that's the first thing you see when I walk in the door. And I remember,
and it brightens my day.
And I'm sure it does. I think like verbal vomit to brighten your day. Yeah. But I think, you know, again, going back to the whole cherish thing and understanding that if I really value this relationship, I wouldn't do that for anyone else. Right. I wouldn't go have lunch with a person and just say, all right, first thing, let me just tell you how awful my day was. Right. Yeah. Maybe David, I'd do that. I do that with David because we're pretty close. So sometimes I do that with him, but
sometimes, you know, I do it with my person too.
But you know what I'm saying though? It's like we can so much devalue the people in our lives that are closest to us.
Yeah. And I think they're special for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think respecting the relationship means that even if they're that person that you can talk to about everything or most things, even if they're that person, you need to, this is kind of a little bit beside the point, but you need to make sure that you are taking time to hear them too.
Yep.
And not just them always hearing all the bad. Mm-hmm. You need to be putting good into those relationships too. But yep. I think your original question was anger with God and bitterness. And, I think somewhere along the line, I just chose not to be bitter. I think I've seen people that have let bitterness just get to them. And then it does a couple things. I think it makes you a victim where everything's always against you.
Yep.
And this person, you know, always, it's everyone else's fault and all the situation's fault, when really it's just life. Life is hard. And
it's so comparative. Like some of the things we go through are nothing in comparison to what others go through.
And some of the things we've gone to are way harder than what other people, but you can't, can't compare because every person's different and every situation's different. And so I think just choosing not to be bitter and just take a step back and say, okay, God has something for this. I am very, very convinced that God doesn't waste anything. And so
we had Davey Blackburn on the podcast, right? Mm. You're familiar with his story. He lost his wife. His wife was murdered and unborn child was murdered. And he runs a podcast called the Nothing Is Wasted podcast. And all of that came out of that. Like I couldn't imagine going through what he went through, but yet that discovery that he, and along with many others, have realized that even in the hardest situations, nothing is wasted.
And I think that helps fight against the bitterness and even anger. Mm-hmm. You know, if I can know, I don't have to see how God is using something, but if I can know that God is going to use something, sometimes theoretically we can think, oh, I would walk through the fire. I would be a martyr. I would do all these grand big things, but someone cuts us off in traffic and we're like, hey,
yeah.
You know, so it's like bringing that down to, okay, when your day is hard, can you have a good attitude about that? You know, you might give your life for Christ, but if you have a bad day, you know, it's kind of that idea of even those little things, the mundane, that's
exactly.
not wasted.
Exactly.
And God wants to use that if you can have a Christ-like spirit through it.
Well, in coming back to the Story of God podcast and all that, like again, I think that's one of the things that's so valuable. I was talking to someone today, and you know, how easy is it, I think, if you take any Christian book, we could sit 10 people around a circle, good Christians, and generally agree with most of the principles in the book and say, oh yeah, I wanna do that. But my question, and one of the things I've learned through doing podcasting, is that there's always a story behind the book, right? There's always, you know, whether it's David Platt writing The Life of Radical, well, there's lots of sacrifices he made to write that book. Whether it's Francis Chan, you know, writing on Crazy Love, there's lots of sacrifices Francis Chan made to, you know, just two quick illustrations. But oftentimes we're okay with just discussing the surface level stuff and, oh yeah, I can agree with that. But one of the things, like going through Matthew's gospel, forces us to do is it's not just, oh yeah, I agree with the Sermon on the Mount and that, you know, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers and so forth. Yeah, I agree with that. You agree with that. But then it's asking the deeper questions, like, are we actually being this in our lives? Yeah. Like, do we actually have the character of Jesus and how we're interacting with ourselves, but then others?
Yeah. Are you willing to actually go and make the peace?
Right.
You know, when you have been offended, are you willing to let go of an offense? Are, you know, yeah, that's putting your faith into action.
Yeah.
means obeying. And not, like you said, not just talking about these high ideas, you know, it's not just something way up there in the clouds. It's something right down here on earth that we're supposed to be using. And I think, too, what a shame to read God's word and not use it
in your
everyday life.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have one of our kids crying here, don't we, in the background?
Yes, we do.
So we're going to have to wrap up. And this is so funny. When we record, how many times, it is so, I'll tell you what, you try recording with, you know, a 4 and 2-year-old, that's one thing, they can go to quiet time. When you factor in like a 5-month-old, that is very difficult because it's like every other sentence is woken up with, ah, or if she's laying on the couch here beside us while we're recording, it's like she'll be sucking on our pacifier.
Or snorting.
So I'm sure you'll hear all of these in the Story of God episodes coming up. But for those that are interested in checking this out, I mean, why should someone check out the Story of God podcast? I'll throw that to you.
It's because because it's so good. because it's practical every day. You can get it in your inbox if you're driving to work, if you're catching up on last night's dishes, whatever you're doing. Yeah. You can just press it. If you have an Alexa, you can literally say, Alexa, play the Story of God podcast, and it will.
Boom.
And yeah. And you can listen. We read the scripture, so you get the chapter or half chapter, whatever we've done for that day. And then you just get some thoughts about it. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say this is all you need for your day, but I would say it's a good start.
That's all you need for your day. Trust me. That's all you need. Yeah, I that's my hope, too. I hope that if there's couples that are listening and watching to this, that you'll go through it as a couple, right? That hopefully you're able to catch a couple of them together and really just think through. I know this has been so valuable for us, so I hope that it's valuable for you all as well. So this is a little bit of a different podcast than we usually do. David and I will be back at it next week, but Janana just wanted to bring you on and have
Thank
you share
you.
Today.
I'm honored.
So, all right. Well, until next week, I'll talk to you all later.
You've been listening to the Monday Christian Podcast, the program that helps you put into action the truth of God's word that you hear on Sunday to your everyday life on Monday. For more info on this program, simply visit our website, themondaychristian.com. That's themondaychristian.com.